Billy Graham was returning from Charlotte, where he had a speaking engagement, and when his plane arrived there, there was a limo that was waiting for him to pick him up. He stopped and spoke to the driver, and he said, "You know what? I'm 87 years old, and I have never, ever in my life driven a limo. Will you give me a chance to drive this limo? I've never done this before." And the driver said, "No problem. Go ahead and get behind the wheel, and we'll just be on our way." Well, Billy got into the driver's seat, and they headed off. A short distance down the highway, a rookie state trooper had set up his first speed trap. The long black limo passed them going 70 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. The trooper pulled out and easily caught the limo and pulled it over. And when he walked up to the driver's door, he was surprised to see who was driving. He immediately excused himself and he called his supervisor and said, "You know we're supposed to enforce the law, but I also know that we're supposed to give courtesies to people that are in powerful places, important people." Well, the supervisor agreed, and he said, "Is it the governor?" "No, he's more important than that." Supervisor responded, "Oh, so he's the president of the United States." And the rookie cop said, "No, he's even more important than that." And the super finally asked, "Well, then, who is it?" And the young trooper replied, "I think it's Jesus because he has Billy Graham as a chauffeur." That rookie cop might be a rookie for a long time, that's all I can say. But you know, important people are a part of our world, aren't they? Billy Graham, T.D. Jakes, so many other spiritual people who have powerfully touched our lives. There are presidents and other world leaders, Andrew Bocelli and Celine Dion and great singers. And the thing about these important people is that we remember them, don't we? They could be gone for a long time, but in a way they will still affect many, many lives. In fact, because of their importance and their influence, they actually affect the lives of many people throughout time. Important people are a part of our world. And in a very real way, by God's grace, they have influence in our lives, hopefully for the better. Well, today we reflect on a very important person in the scriptures, and that would be John the Baptist. John the Baptist had an incredible ministry during his life that profoundly touched the nation of Israel and continues to touch your life and my life to this day. He was anointed by God even before his birth. You remember the story about John and Jesus and the timing of their birth. From the very beginning, it was known that this child was anointed by God for a very special ministry. And in fact, John's ministry, as we read today in the scriptures, was to call the people of Israel to repentance for their sins. And the way that they were to manifest that repentance was to come and to be baptized by him in the River Jordan as a physical sign before God and before all the people of Israel that they were honoring the call of God to them in that moment in the repentance of their sin. It was prophesied in Isaiah about him that he would be a voice crying in the wilderness to the people of Israel to repent. It says that he wore garments of camel hair, he ate locusts and wild honey, he was organic in the fullest sense of the word. He was out in the desert. He was a prophet. He was different from the people. And the people honored him because they saw the anointing of God upon his life. They felt the anointing of his words as he spoke. And the Spirit of God drew them as God honored the ministry of John the Baptist during his time among the people of Israel. John proclaimed that the kingdom of God was at hand in that moment. Now, one of the things that's important for you and I to realize is that somebody who has been called by God, be they a prophet or a pastor or other some kind of spiritual leader, there will be a sense in which they will proclaim God's timeless word. You know, this this book, the Bible, is full of God's truths and promises to all of us. There's a sense in which much of this book is full of truths that are timeless. And then there will be times where the word that is proclaimed is especially true for this moment. And that's what John was doing. John said to the people of Israel, the kingdom of God is at hand right now. Not when you die, not when you eventually go to heaven, but the kingdom of God is at hand right now for you. And it is time for you to respond right now. You know, so often in our lives, we might plan things, we might put things off. We might like a little bit of time to think about things and ruminate about them. But what John was saying to the people of Israel, and what John is saying to you and me right now, is that there are times when the kingdom of heaven is breaking into our reality right now. And it demands a response. For the people of Israel that went out to be baptized in the River Jordan and repent of their sins, they were saying yes to the kingdom of heaven in that moment. They were saying yes to the Holy Spirit in that moment. They were saying yes to God in that moment. And to the people of Israel that did not go, they were saying no. And so again, we need to hear the words of John, and I would say to you, we need to hear the words of spiritual leaders that God puts in our midst when they are proclaiming the timeless truths of God, but also when they are saying to us, it is time for you to respond now. It's very important to distinguish that. Another thing about John was that he was a prophet. He proclaimed that God loved people. He proclaimed that God wanted us to come and repent before him, to be baptized and be reconciled with God. That's what he proclaimed to the people of Israel. But he also said some hard things. You'll notice that in John's ministry, he actually rebuked King Herod of all people for his incestuous marriage that occurred. And in fact, King Herod at the time was troubled by this. He ended up imprisoning John for this, challenge to his authority. But he was struggling with John because he also knew that there was something spiritual and special about him. The reality is, though, is that ultimately this would cost John his head because Herod's wife was so offended by it. And so another important takeaway for you and me, as we hear the prophets of God in the Old Testament and New, as we hear them even in this day and spiritual leaders in our midst, beloved, there will be times where they will share things with you that you'll just love. You just can't get enough of it. You'll just think over it, and it'll just warm your soul, and you'll treasure it. And then there are going to be times we're going to say something to you that you just don't like. It might be a rebuke. It might be a challenge. They might say it to you, and they might not even realize they're challenging you. That's just God's Spirit speaking through them. And what's important for you and I to realize is that we need to listen to the full counsel of God. God loves us enough that he encourages us and has mercy upon us and draws us to himself, but he also loves us enough to tell us the truth about ourselves. And sometimes that is a difficult thing to hear, but it's important to hear. And it's for our edification, ultimately. It's for our spiritual growth, and that we might become even closer to our Lord. There was something else that John said in the scripture here today, and that was, he said that there was someone coming who was going to be greater than him. Now, that's a pretty amazing thing. I mean, here's a prophet that was prophesied about by Isaiah in the Old Testament. Here was the embodiment of somebody who was a fulfillment of the word of the Lord. And he was all about it. Let me tell you, the ministry was happening. People were getting touched by the Spirit of God. They were repenting. They were coming by the thousands. He was in the midst of a great outpouring and move of God. Awesome thing to be a part of. And yet he said in that moment that there was someone coming who was greater than he. In fact, this person was so much greater than John that he was not even worthy to take the sandals off of this person's foot. Which in that day, when you think about the culture, what John is saying is that he wasn't even worthy to welcome him. That's how incredible and mighty and anointed this person was who was coming. And that person is Jesus Christ. He says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so again, during this season of Advent, we have this reading as we're waiting for the coming of Jesus. We have this reading that is giving us a picture of our Lord. We have this reading and this prophecy that is speaking to us about what Jesus' ministry is going to be about. Now, we would all affirm as we walk into this church that one of the main things that we see at the center of this church up behind the altar is what? We see a cross with nails. And the reason why we see the cross is we would all affirm as Christians that this is the central work of Jesus Christ, that he suffered and died on the cross for our sins and the sins of all humanity, that as many as would receive him would be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven and enjoy eternity. We would affirm that. But did you also realize, based on the words of John the Baptist today, again, this is not me. I've told you this before. I'm in sales, not management, okay? This is not me. I'm simply sharing the message. I'm trying to be faithful to it. This is what John the Baptist said. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? I can't tell you how much of my life has been spent listening to people argue about the Holy Spirit. I'm just so tired of it. I mean, they argued about it in seminary. We used to argue about, oh no, the baptism of the Holy Spirit's not real. Yes, it is. It happens here. It doesn't happen then. And people all through time have argued about this. And I just want to put to rest the arguments today and simply say to you, based on the words of John, that part of Jesus' ministry, this is part of what Jesus was going to do, was to baptize you and me in the Holy Spirit. Now, people will say, well, Father Joe, that was really only meant for Jesus' time. Those are the dispensationalists. There are people who will say, you know what, that was only for the apostles, it's not for us. And I will simply say to you, that is false teaching. It is not true. That Jesus' ministry is timeless, that his ministry of filling you and me with the Holy Spirit is as timeless as his ministry from the cross saving all of mankind. And so it's important that we hear that today in a powerful and deep way. The pulpit commentary shares, it's as though John is saying Christ will pour his Holy Spirit so abundantly upon you that he will cleanse you from all your sins and fill you with holiness, love, and all his excellent graces. He did this visibly on Pentecost and does so invisibly through the sacrament of baptism and confirmation in which Christ baptizes the soul. And so get this picture with me of what happens. Jesus goes to John to receive the baptism, his baptism, in the water. And John recognizes who Jesus is. You remember the story. And John says to Jesus, what are you doing? I should not be baptizing you. I know who you are. I should not be doing this. And Jesus says, this should be done for the fulfillment of all Scripture. And as soon as Jesus is baptized under the waters of the River Jordan, he comes up. And there is a dove over him, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so one of the first things that happens as Jesus begins his ministry is what? Jesus is baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. He's filled with the Holy Spirit as he begins his ministry. And then what's the next thing that happens? The Holy Spirit drives him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Hear this. Jesus' spirituality is rooted in his relationship with his Abba his Father in heaven, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus baptizes you and me in the Holy Spirit, as we are open to the fullness of the gifts that are ours in the sacraments of baptism and confirmation and truly walk in them, we are in a very real way participating in the Trinity of God. Think about that for a moment. If you and I are living in relationship to the Holy Spirit, who are we a part of? We're a part of the Trinity of God. God is using us and filling us and anointing us to do the work that he has given to do for his kingdom here. I love that song that we were singing, Jesus, my Redeemer. Wow. Sending the Spirit, giving us the Spirit until the work on earth is done. Amen. Love it. So I want to affirm before you here today that John the Baptist, a very important person, is reminding you and me of two very important people. One of them would be Jesus Christ, and the other would be the Holy Spirit. I want to say before all of you here today, I am grateful for the relationship that each of you have with the Holy Spirit. Wherever that might be right now, because of the sacrament of baptism and confirmation, and for some of you, the way that you have lived into that relationship. I also am here to say to you here today that I believe the Holy Spirit desires an even more intimate relationship with each one of us. There are some Christians, I would say, who have a degree of a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a sense that they pray to him and ask him for his forgiveness and for him to move in their lives and to guide and direct them. But rarely, if ever, mention the Holy Spirit. And so I would just ask you here today, to what extent do you really name and honor and experience a real and living relationship with the Holy Spirit? I do not say this here today to make you feel bad or condemn you, but I do want to raise this very important question. Because guess what? You only have a relationship with somebody who you're relating to. That's not a very profound statement, is it? But it's a profound realization. Think about it for a moment. You only have a relationship with somebody who you're relating to. If you are not relating to somebody, guess what? You really don't have a relationship with them. Or at best, it might just be an acquaintance of some sort. And I would say to you here today, I believe a lot of Christians have an acquaintance relationship with the Holy Spirit, but not a real relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let me just share with you briefly in closing what it looks like for me in my daily life. As soon as my feet hit the ground in the morning, one of the first things I'm doing early in that morning is I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to fill me afresh. Now, there's a reason why I'm doing that. And it's because I need that. I would not get through my day without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to think about your life like a colander, if you will. You know the colander that you put your spaghetti in, and it has holes in it, and all the water drains out, and what do you have left? Some great pasta that you're about to eat, right? That's what it's all about. And you know what? Our lives are like that colander, that sieve. And as you and I go through our life and live through our day, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit's power and presence and anointing should be flowing through us and reaching out and touching other people and ministering to them and loving them and praying for them and being used to heal them. And then guess what? We need to get filled back up. And we need to ask for that. And through my day, I might ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom as I'm meeting with somebody, maybe in their hospital room. Holy Spirit, guide and lead us in our prayer time together here. And the Holy Spirit does. Or maybe somebody's upset and angry with me and things aren't quite working out. And we might pray together. Holy Spirit, we're really upset with each other right now. This is going nowhere. Help. We need your divine help. Or the grace of being able to have power and anointing as you're moving through your life and needing the Spirit's wisdom about the next step that you need to take. Guess what? Thank God that Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, because we need the Holy Spirit in order to lead the Christian life that God is calling us to live. And so I would invite you here this day, on this wonderful second Sunday of Advent, to consider the message that I'm sharing with you here today, that the Holy Spirit is a very important person in all of our lives. And it is important for us here today to begin to welcome afresh the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to no longer be afraid, to no longer think of all the reasons why I can't do this, but to begin to step out in faith and to surrender, to be open to the anointing and the presence of the Spirit that Jesus wants to give us, that you and I might be empowered and able and filled with joy and hope and grace to live the life that he is calling us to live. If you've ever felt like, Jesus, I can't do this. This is too hard for me to follow you. I don't want to get out of bed this morning, even though it's Sunday morning, I'm supposed to go to church. I just don't feel like it. Jesus, I don't have enough faith to do this. It's too big for me. Thank God. Thank God. Because that is the moment where we can welcome the presence and the power and the embrace of the blessed Holy Spirit.